Great. Hi, everyone. It's my pleasure and honor to be here today. I'm Jamie Shrieke, and I am at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and I had the auspicious occasion of being a member of the IOM Committee to Accelerate Progress in Obesity Prevention. And I will talk a little bit today about what we recommended in this report, but I'm also really going to talk heavily about a workshop that we held in conjunction with the report related to measuring progress in obesity prevention, and particularly for this audience, the role that epidemiologists can play in helping us measure progress in obesity prevention and informing the policy process. Before I forget, I have no disclosures to, no relationships to disclose. And for those of you who are interested, I did have, I think, about 10 or 15 copies of the Measuring Progress Report on the back table, but I think they're all gone. Both the full report, the green one, and the Measuring Progress Workshop Report are available for download for free from the Institute of Medicine website. There are there were some copies of the report brief in the back. There may still be some back there that briefly summarizes our recommendations from the full report. These were my colleagues on our committee. Dan Glickman, the former Secretary of Agriculture, was our chair, and Marcy Greenworth, who's the president of the University of Hawaii system, and Bill Purcell, who's former mayor of Nashville, were our vice chairs. Jumping to the punchline, we need all of you. One thing you're going to learn from my presentation today is the recommendations that we made were very much grounded in data, but we realized very quickly, early in the process, that we need a lot more data. In order to really be able to accelerate progress in obesity prevention, we need to learn more about what strategies are and are not working. I do a lot of work in the tobacco area, and we've got decades of science behind us in the tobacco area. We don't have decades of science behind us so much in the obesity area. So while we have a lot of data and we have a lot of information to inform our efforts relative to strategies for accelerating progress in obesity prevention, there's still a lot more data needs that exist, and we're relying on you and those of our colleagues in public health to help continue to inform those efforts. So I'm going to start with this video, and hopefully we can hear it. So that's a clip from the Weight of the Nation documentary series, which actually filmed every single minute of every single committee meeting that we had on this IOM panel, if you can imagine. So I encourage you, if you want to follow that further, I encourage you to go online and look at that documentary. So how did we get to this problem? As we all, many of us know, portion sizes and caloric intake have increased exponentially since the 1970s, looking at 19,000 calories or so in 1971 and 74, up to 2,200 calories by 2005 to 8 amongst adults on a daily basis. Most Americans exceed the recommended limits on consumption of solid fats and added sugars, refined grains, excess intake of sodium, and increased saturated fat levels over and above what the dietary guidelines recommend, whereas they consume a lot less of what the dietary guidelines recommend in terms of whole grains, fruits, vegetables, dairy, seafood, so on and so forth. Children and adolescents consume more than 7.5 hours of media each day. And by media, that's not just television. That includes video gaming, that includes computer time, Facebook time, you name it. So 7.5 hours of media time a day. If you add that with the time they spent in school, that's basically their whole day. So it's no surprise that many kids in this country don't get enough physical activity. They don't meet the daily recommendations of 60 minutes of physical activity per day for children and youth. And overall, only 19% of all Americans get the recommended amount of 60 minutes of physical activity per day. What are the costs and consequences of obesity? And we learned all of this from epidemiologic data, of course. Obesity is directly related to a number of other chronic disease and conditions and health problems, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, depression, so on and so forth. As you can see here, 37% of adults are pre-diabetic. 8% of adults actually have type 2 diabetes, and 3% of adults have type 2 diabetes that still are undiagnosed. So we have some severe problems on the horizon, not just amongst the obese population, but the pre-obese stage. Costs to society associated with obesity are equally alarming. These figures are a little outdated. There have been some more recent numbers that have come out. But from this study, which was by Eric Finkelstein and colleagues, over $190 billion are the estimated annual cost of obesity-related illnesses. About 21% of the annual medical spending is on obesity-related illnesses. A lot of that's coming from Medicare and Medicaid in particular. And $4.3 billion in annual losses are associated with loss to businesses associated with job absenteeism. So clearly, there's a big problem. There are lots of consequences and costs associated with obesity. And the committee was charged with identifying strategies that could be taken to accelerate progress in obesity prevention. We recognized that there was an urgent need for action across all sectors of society. And we came up with a series of five goals or solutions, many of which are not new. And I should have noted early on, and I apologize for this, that the sponsors for this particular IOM study were the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation. And the reason why I'm mentioning that right now is I remember when we produced the report, one of the questions that the foundation, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, asked of us, they said, you know, you don't have a whole lot here that's new. We're like, you're absolutely right. We don't have a whole lot here that's new. What is new about this report and what we tried to hone in on is the fact that it's not just one simple solution. You've got to do everything, and it's going to take a collective action. It's going to take more of a systems framework in how we handle and address the obesity epidemic. So if those of you who work in the healthcare sector focus on the healthcare aspects, people in the school sector focus on the school aspects, people working in the employer sector focus on the employment aspects, if everybody sort of took their collective role and helped to inform efforts in this area, then hopefully things would come together and lead to accelerated progress in obesity prevention. So we have five goal areas, the first one being integrating physical activity every day in every way. Second one, making healthy foods available everywhere, making the healthy option the default option. Market what matters for a healthy life, focusing on marketing practices and health promotion practices. We saw a key role for employers and healthcare professionals to play here. It's not just about schools. It's not just about the home environment. Employers play a critical role here, as does the healthcare industry and the healthcare professionals. And then, of course, strengthening schools is the heart of health. So many of the options that we considered leading up to this report have been so focused on just the school sector, and we really felt that there's a collective role beyond just the school environment that we need to focus on. We had recommendations that went with each of the five goal areas, and I don't have time to go through all the recommendations and all the strategies. They were in that report brief. I'm going to quickly, very quickly run through them, and I encourage you to go to the IOM website to pull down the reports and the recommendations, and I'm happy to talk to you afterwards as well. The first recommendation related to physical activity. Communities, transportation officials, community planners, health professionals, and governments should make promotion of physical activity a priority by substantially increasing access to places and opportunities for such activity. And there we have four strategies, recommended strategies that could be taken at the population level. All of our recommendations were population-level strategies focusing on policy and environmental changes that could be taken. You're epidemiologists. You may be asking yourself, well, what difference? How can I make a difference with policy and environmental change strategies? Key roles for epidemiologists to play are to help inform the decision-making processes, produce the data, help to translate that data, and make it meaningful for use by policy and other decision-makers to better understand how changes to the physical and built environment, for example, might lead to more people being physically active, or what barriers might exist, what opportunities may exist. Food and beverage environments, recommendation 2. Governments and decision makers in the business community, private sector should make a concerted effort to reduce unhealthy food and beverage options and substantially increase healthier food and beverage options at affordable and competitive prices. Remember the caloric intake difference I showed you earlier. Here we have 5 strategy areas, and this is actually one place where we had something not so new for the advocacy community, but it was definitely new in terms of being present in a report, and that was strategy 1 related to adopting policies and practices to reduce overconsumption of sugary drinks or sugar-sweetened beverages. The other items on here are pretty commonplace in terms of other recommendations we've seen from other reports, but we felt that the collective action and role of not just governments, but also industry, as well as manufacturers and employers, everybody had a role to play. The private sector had a role to play here, as well as government decision makers. Messaging, industry, educators, a lot of what we see in the message environment right now, the food and beverage industry marketing practices, they're regulated voluntarily. And so the committee felt like it was important to be able to address this and see what we could do to continue to improve the messaging environment that children in particular are exposed to. So industry, educators, and government should act quickly and aggressively in a sustained manner to transform the environment that surrounds Americans with messages about physical activity, food, and nutrition. Here we had recommendations to develop a nationwide social marketing program that are targeted, ensure consistent nutrition labeling. All these things built off of prior IOM recommendations and reports as well. Healthcare insurers and work sites. Healthcare and health service providers, employers, and insurers should increase the support structure for achieving better population health and obesity prevention. Given that a quarter of an employed adult's life, at least, is spent at the workplace. Here we had 4 separate strategies. 1, to provide standardized care and advocate for healthy community environments, encouraging coverage and access to and incentives for obesity prevention, screening, and treatment, diagnosis and treatment, providing opportunities for active living and healthy eating at work, and providing opportunities for breastfeeding-friendly environments at the workplace. And then last but not least, because we did view schools as the heart of health or a focal point, focus on the school area. And there we recommended that governments at all levels and educators, with support from parents, teachers, and the business community and the private sector, should make a school as a focal point but not the only focus of obesity prevention efforts. And there, again, we focus on physical education and activity and nutrition standards and food literacy in particular. So what are the ways that we can accelerate progress, and what did the committee feel was important? We, too, took a systems orientation. Actually, in Appendix B of the full report, we have a very methodologically oriented systems diagram and systems thinking appendix. I pulled out for you the simplified version of that and kind of a Venn diagram approach that shows you the interrelationships of the 5 goal areas that we focused on. And the committee felt very decisively that it was really important to engage individuals, families, communities, and society. It was going to require leadership at all levels and a role and responsibility for pretty much all decision makers at all levels of government and in the private sector and in the home to help to accelerate progress in obesity prevention. The third call to action was really in the area of assessment. As I mentioned at the outset of my presentation, while we have a lot of data to tell us the extent of the obesity problem, and we had a sufficient amount of data to kind of help point us in the direction of population-based approaches that might help collectively to accelerate progress in obesity prevention, we still have a lot to learn. A lot of the recommendations in this report are what I would consider, I'm a policy scientist, a lot of the recommendations in this report are more natural experiment oriented recommendations, and so we have a lot more to learn about the impact of those natural experiments on individuals and on communities. And so epidemiologists are going to play a key role in helping us better understand the impact that some of these recommendations may or may not have, as well as, importantly, unintended consequences of these recommendations, either in concert with one another or individually. And so epidemiologists are critical to helping to continue to accelerate progress in obesity prevention. The last part of my presentation focuses specifically on that measurement workshop that we had that actually occurred early on in our process of developing the report. And we really called together a variety of different experts spanning the food, nutrition, physical activity environments, as well as epidemiologists, statisticians, data-oriented people, to really help us understand what are the measurement needs, where do we have some opportunities to continue to improve measurement and progress in our understanding of obesity-related efforts. So what I called out for you from the report are some of the key recommendations that came from those presentations that I thought were most relevant for this audience, mainly, and it's certainly not everything under the sun. But we really are lacking data beyond traditional public health and cross-sectoral collaborations. We need more data from like geographic information systems, transportation, urban planning, recreation, healthcare sector, insurance industry, employers, and marketing. We have a ton of public health data to tell us the problem. And, you know, those of us funded by NIH and RWJ and CDC, you know, we produce some really great health-oriented data sets and studies, but we need to do a much better job of cross-sectoral collaborations to produce data that would impact this issue that goes beyond just the healthcare study and sector. As the prior presentation mentioned, here too, we're lacking ongoing surveillance systems at all levels of government to really enable us to track health-related outcomes and trends. It's not just as simple as a one-shot case study or a one-shot cross-sectional study. We need longitudinal data, and we need longitudinal surveillance that's really going to be able to help us track trends over time. For a lot of the goals and strategies I mentioned, they're population-based policy and environmental change strategies. We don't actually have a lot of the measures that we need. We don't have indicators in place, several of which are aligned with Healthy People 2020 goals, many of which are in the developmental category for Healthy People 2020, many of which Healthy People 2020 doesn't even have a resource for where to get these data from. So there's a lot of opportunities for data development here. As I already mentioned, we lack the longitudinal data that measures progress and trends over time in terms of BMI and related outcomes. We have some great cross-sectional studies, and Haynes and others, that tell us about, you know, BMI trends on an annual basis, but they're cross-sectional, they're not longitudinal panels. We don't have a lot of data on the use of additional causes of obesity other than health. So what are the values, value to the community of some of these issues? We don't have a lot of local measures of progress and trends, particularly for disparate populations. Tony Eaton, who is executive director of the California Endowment, who California Endowment sponsoring those wonderful billboards we see outside about telling us, you know, our zip code should not tell us how long we're going to live. But Tony Eaton was on the committee with us, and he kept reminding us how important the local environment is for everything that we do, and we can't forget about the local environment. Well, I'm on the follow-on committee now for IOM on evaluating progress in obesity prevention, and the biggest challenge we have is with local measures and local indicators. And this is going to continue to be a problem because we have a lot of national data sets, but we don't have local data consistently across this country in ready-to-use surveillance systems. And so to me, that is critical. We have a lack of concerted, ongoing focused research and measurement on disparate populations that are disproportionately affected by the obesity epidemic. We have pockets of studies, but we don't have ongoing systematic studies in place that will enable us to continue our research in this area. So I had a paper that I published last year that was called What Gets Measured Gets Changed, and it, of course, builds off the adage from the business sector. But in this area, it's really true. The more we measure progress, the more we measure the impact of some of these interventions, the more we measure the collective impact of these interventions that we recommend in this report, the more we have the opportunity to change the course of the obesity epidemic. As I mentioned, both of the reports are available online, and I think in closing, one of the most important roles that you can play is not just in helping to produce data, but working with policy researchers and others to help translate that data for use by decision makers. You know, these strategies are all population-based policy environmental training strategies, Policymakers don't respond simply to just data and numbers. They need things packaged for them in a way that makes it easy to use and understandable, and that's going to help inform the policy and decision-making process. So the more that you can tailor your results for that audience, the more successful you'll be in informing that process. And I look forward to everyone's work in this area. This report was produced under the auspices of the Standing Committee on Childhood Obesity Prevention, many of whom you may already know. And as I mentioned, there's a follow-on committee right now on evaluating progress of obesity prevention efforts and a sister committee on physical activity and physical education in the school environment. There are a number of other materials available on the IOM website. And again, I'd like to thank the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation for their sponsorship of this effort. Thank you.